welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
This week's poem brings us a face-to-face with three important topics: gallstones, stomach pain, and Italian lifestyle. I'm going to try to weave those three things together in the next 60 seconds. One of the most significant challenges in the evaluation of people who come in with upper abdominal pain and have gallstones is trying to determine whether the stones are the cause of the symptoms or just an incidental finding. Both gallstones and upper GI symptoms are common in the general population, but they're not always related. The routine use of ultrasound has been a boon for some things, but has caused other problems. For example, in the evaluation of abdominal pain, the test has led to the incidental identification of gallstones in a surprisingly large number of patients. The majority of these people have no symptoms attributable to the gallstones, but about 20% will become symptomatic possibly in the next 10 to 15 years. There's a cool study, this is where the Italians come in here, the entire population in a town in Italy, in Sirmione, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, was screened by ultrasound for the presence of gallstones or gallstone-related disease. Out of the population, and I don't have the exact population, but 132 people were found to have gallstones, much higher in women, as we know, than men. The overall prevalence of gallstones was about 7% in this population, so I guess we could back calculate how many people there were. And the patients with gallstones clearly much more likely to have biliary pain compared to people without gallstones, but not remarkable. While cholecystectomy can be curative for those with symptoms that are clearly related to gallstones, it exposes a population of people to unnecessary risks, to lots of expense, and perhaps lacking a definitive treatment for the actual cause of their symptoms. This week, Mark, you've chosen a poem that actually looks further at this topic. It was recently published. It asks the clinical question, what is the natural history of asymptomatic gallstones? Mark, what did they find?
Well, this was another one of those great studies they tend to do in Europe. And part of that is it's easier to do in a lot of European countries because there's less geographic mobility. People tend to stay in one town for their whole lives, much more so than in this country. And it's also easier to track people because there's one health system and they got one healthcare number and they have a national identifying number and all those things. So anyway, this was in Norway. And in 1983, they contacted 2,464 Norwegians, and I will spare you my Norwegian or Swedish chef accent, I promise.
Oh, thanks.
And you're welcome. Yeah. And so there were 1,400 of these people. They agreed to have an ultrasound, and they also had a gallbladder. So that was the initial study group. Of those, 20%, or about 250, had gallstones, but they were asymptomatic. They gave them a questionnaire, survey, what are your symptoms? They didn't have any symptoms, but they had some stones. They went back 23 years later, and they tried to contact the people from this original group. They lost a few because of bad handwriting and stuff like that, but they found of those 245 in the original group who had asymptomatic stones, about a third had died. About 8% they couldn't find or they hung up the phone. Of the rest, there were 89 that had a follow-up ultrasound and 45 who answered a survey about whether or not they still had the gallbladder, had they had any symptoms, had they had it taken out. And what they found was of those who had the ultrasound 23 years later, these are folks who had stones 23 years ago, only 28% now had stones seen on ultrasound. And there wasn't any association between the number of stones, how big the stones were, and whether or not they had stones persist 23 years later. Only 6% of that original group of 245 who had the asymptomatic gallstones eventually underwent cholecystectomy. And, they found that pain and these functional abdominal dyspepsia kind of things were common, and that's true pretty much any time you do a population samples. So the bottom line is that if you have a patient, and I still had, I actually, this happened in my family, my mother about 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, when she was in her late 60s, had had gallstones discovered incidentally on an abdominal ultrasound. And the surgeon was saying, well, we probably ought to take those out because, you know, you're healthy now, but you never know down the road, and we don't want to, you know. And so, you know, there's still people advising taking out patients who have asymptomatic gallstones. And I think we can say confidently it's really unlikely that you're ever going to need a cholecystectomy, only 1 in 16, and that as much as 3 out of 4 times, they're just going to go away on their own. So very interesting.
If you realign the incentives and change things, would doctors be as aggressive at pushing for treatment? And anyways, I'm wondering, Mark, what we'd have to do to get you to just for a sentence or so, let us hear your Scandinavian accent.
No.
No? Okay.
I can't do it on command. It's got to be, I got to have more beer. I think I need more beer, and it's middle of the day, so yeah.
Will do. We'll talk with you again next week, Mark. Thanks.
All right. See you then.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.